All right, rockers and metalheads, this is DJ Rem, Quote the Raven, live on Rock Addict Radio, and I am live with Carl Winery right now. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me, DJ Rem.
Yeah, so happy to have you back on the show. And tonight, everybody, we are talking about the upcoming movie that Carl's been working on called Jason Rising. That's, I don't know about everybody else that's tuned in, but I am so excited for this to come out, and I'm sure you are extremely excited to get it to us.
Yeah, it's been a huge project for 3 years now. So if you don't know what Jason Rising is, it's a Friday the 13th fan film. So it is not official, but we are trying to go for as close to like an actual movie quality as we can get, which is why we've been spending so much time on it. We have some amazing kills. We have some amazing actors. We got some gore. We got some horror. We got some humor. We got a little bit of everything. I think people are going to love it.
Awesome. So why don't you take us back to the beginning and kind of what started the process to kind of get this whole, to get this going at from the start?
Yeah, so I would say I'm number two on the project. Number one is James Sweet, the director. So it's his idea. What happened was, you know, he's been a huge Friday the 13th fan for years and years and years. And you know, he and I met through a mutual friend, and we got along great, and we collaborated on a short film together, and it was awesome. And a funny story there, he approached me and said, "Hey, do you want to film this with me?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, sure." And then he brought on the director, and then the director, he's a great guy, Robert Blanche, and Robert's like, "Hey, I got my own guy to film this, so we don't need you." And I was like, "Oh, well, that kind of sucks, whatever. I'll just show up and see if I can help." So I had like no role, and I showed up, and I sat around for 4.5 hours where I'm impatient. Like, if I go somewhere and somebody doesn't respond, I'm like, "Fuck it, I'm going home." So I, for me to sit around for 4.5 hours is something, and I didn't do anything. There was nothing I could help with. And then at that 4.5 hour mark, all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, Carl, you got a second? Can you help?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, sure." So then next thing you know, I'm like running around them for another 8 hours, and we're just like, I was super helpful. And next day show up and help out again, and just had a blast with everybody. And turns out when we filmed it, two shots got biffed for different reasons, and so we had to do some reshoots. And when we went to go do the reshoots, there's a conflict with the main guy, so they asked me to do the reshoots. And I did the reshoots, and they were like, "Oh shit, hey, you're pretty awesome." And I was like, "Well, yeah, duh." And next thing you know, when it came time to edit, they didn't really have anybody lined up. And I was like, "Well, let's come over to my house and let's edit this thing together. Like, this will be fun." And so that's what we did. And we, you know, spent a year editing a couple hours here and there every night, or like once a week. And really got to know Robert and James, and really became very close with them. And James and Robert are very close. Unfortunately, Robert ended up passing away during the making of Jason Rising. He had a lung transplant, had some complications from it. It was not COVID related. It was before COVID. But you know, it was Robert and James and I were working on Jason Rising, and then Robert had to step away for health reasons. And unfortunately, he was never able to return. And James stepped in to direct, but I kind of skipped over something there. I did a photo shoot with my friend Lance, where had somebody doing some Friday the 13th outfit stuff and costume. And he had a girl dressed up and like, you know, like she was getting ready to get killed. And I threw together a quick video. I was like, "Hey, let me have you run from here to here. And like, let's have you scream and let's have you do this. And like, we need you to like run in slow motion, basically. I'm going to film in slow-mo. We want like, you know, cleavage bouncing. And all right, Jason, you're going to pick her up by her neck and really, you know, somebody's grabbing her feet and lifting her off the ground." And so we put together like a minute and a half short of this, of the Jason guy running around, terrorizing this poor lady and then killing her. And James saw it and was like, "Oh shit, that's pretty high quality. Like, that was great." So he was asking me questions about it. I thought he just liked it. I didn't know he had a plan. And he had been developing a story for a while. And he was just like, "We can do this. Like, we get along great. Like, let's do this." And I was like, "Shit, yeah, that sounds fun." So that's kind of how it came to be. And then from there, I want to say it was a year from that point to when we actually filmed the first trailer. It went on a lot of different variations. Robert and James worked out, I want to say, like 20 different ideas for an initial draft of a screenplay. Different characters, different stuff happening. And, you know, the idea that they settled on was really good. And then we started doing costume tests with our Dan Kyle, who's playing Jason, Jason Voorhees, and we're doing costume tests and motion tests, and we spent quite a long time in pre-production, and it was just fun. Like, I have photos from when we met in my living room with James, Dan, Kyle, myself, and my wife was hanging out too, and, you know, we were just testing stuff and kind of fart around. Like, we had, you know, big ideas and big dreams on it, but that was, you know, it was a pretty humble start. I would say when we did our first trailer at that point, you know, we'd spent a lot of time in pre-production and we had found some other amazing actors to play some of the, you know, victims basically. And our whole goal was to make, you know, likable characters that when they go, because, you know, people are going to die, that when they go, you really miss them. And, you know, that's something some of the Friday the 13th movies have done a great job at that. And then there's quite a few that they make you hate everybody. So then you're just really rooting for them to get killed.
Right.
And yeah, it's like, oh, come on, man. Like, you know, we want you to feel scared for these people. We want you to like them. And you know, it's a Friday the 13th movie. So people know that people are going to go, they're going to get killed. But, you know, I want it to hurt. And, you know, we spent time assembling a good cast and we started shooting. We did a trailer. So we made like a 2-minute trailer and we started raising money to try to get the rest of it. And the reason we went crowdfunding was we had a pretty big story we wanted to tell. We wanted to have quite a lot of characters. We wanted to, you know, not just have teens go to the woods and get killed. We wanted to have, like, you know, what if you had some good, smart adults running out in Camp Crystal Lake without quite realizing what the hell's happening? And then, you know, Jason faces some foes that are smart and that have weapons. That aren't just out there doing drugs. And it kind of, you know, went from there. And the first trailer did really well. We did not do very well on fundraising, but our next Indiegogo campaign took off pretty well. And we raised a decent chunk of money. So we were able to get a lot of the movie shot. COVID hit. And so COVID really screwed us up.
Right.
And we were shut down for 3-4 months pretty easily. And we have been able to start filming really small chunks. So before, we were able to shoot about 10 pages of screenplay a day when we were at our, like, running at high pace. And, you know, we have probably like 10 to 12 crew members, lots of actors on set. And, you know, we were able to do a lot of stuff and a big chunk, you know, we work 12, 14 hours a day and film like crazy. And then now we're doing like maybe 2 pages a day, and it's got like, you know, no more than 2 actors on screen at a time. Instead of the crew being like 10 to 12 people, it's like 3 or 4. So definitely stripped down, and we just, you know, we're trying to make progress. We're trying to be safe. The nice thing about the pandemic was it allowed us to take some time and catch up on editing and pacing and figure all that stuff out. So we've been able to, like, oh, hey, we can reshape the story a little bit. So we wanted to add some more character driven stuff in there. We've also been able to get some extra kills. We had a character that was in one of the early drafts that we were able to bring back, and it fits so nicely in that when the first time we walked it back into edit, we were like, oh, this belongs here. This is great. So really stoked to kill her. We haven't got her death scene yet. I don't want to say who it is or anything, but yeah, it's going to be good, man.
Yeah, I know, I'm looking forward to it. So for us laymen that don't know anything about filming movies, when you say, you know, you're able to shoot like 10 pages or 2 pages, are you talking like pages of script? What's that mean?
Yeah, pages of screenplay script. I want to say, you know, on an indie level that's doing pretty good, you want to be filming 9 to 10 pages a day. And then, you know, I think that's about where you want to be, because that means you're getting your money's worth out of people, because a lot of times people charge per day. So they'll charge, you know, whatever their day rate is to be an actor. And so if you get, you know, 9 pages of their dialogue, you've made a lot of progress that day.
Right.
And you got your money's worth. But if you only shot 2 because you couldn't get your shit together, or you had something really complicated, you know, it's a little bit more expensive. And on that note, you know, we have been using SAG actors for the most part, and that's the Screen Actors Guild. So it means we have to pay people. We don't have a whole lot of volunteers. There are some people that have volunteered, but most people are paid actors. And the quality for in that realm, you know, we have better actors because of that. So we have some really, really amazing people. Like, I am starting to dabble, and I have 2 movie ideas that I want to shoot in like 2 or 3 years from now. And so I'm starting to outline like the 3-page versions of those movies now. I'm trying to make sure that we finish Jason Rising Strong, so I don't want to like distract myself from that. But there's so many actors where I'm like, God, I could just see them in like any role I have or anything I want to do going forward. I want them on this project because they're so good. You know, every one of our actors, I has just been such a blast to work with. But there's a couple that are just like, God, they're just so good. Every time they're on, they just nail it. They're just, it's, you know, sometimes when we're filming scenes, you can tell when there's a moment. It just, everybody feels it. Like this, the set is electric. I'm on camera and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I just watched this happen. This is so good. And everybody on our sets had one of those moments. It's so cool. I'm so pumped for it.
Yeah, that's it's got to be awesome. So tell me when you're hiring these Screen Actor Guild, you know, performers, actors, what do you interview them first? I mean, how do you know they're going to be what you need? I mean,
great question. So what we did is we wrote up a kind of high level synopsis of the character and what you know, give them the idea of what they're doing. And then we'd send them maybe a couple pages of dialogue. For some people, we had, okay, you know, your character is going to die. We need to hear your death scream. And no joke, because it matters. Like, right? If somebody can't scream, it's horrible. Like, I've seen people on other shoots where, you know, they can't run. They can't act scared properly. You know, it's like just sitting there shaking isn't acting scared. And if their scream isn't good, like, sorry, you know, there's a reason they call some of the ladies scream queens for a reason, because they sound killer. It sounds blood curdling. You know, we're filming in a park without permits, and we had one of our actors, I don't want to say who, because I don't want to spoil who dies. Plot twist, everyone dies. But she was screaming just bloody murder. It was so incredible. But people were in the park, and they were like, hey, is everyone okay? That was so good. Like, we seriously freaked some people out. It was amazing.
And that tells you that they're doing a good job, right?
Yeah, exactly. If you're
people just walking around the park. Okay, so here's my death screen. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. Oh, wait, I probably would get fired, wouldn't I?
We'd be like, what the hell is that? We need to have a huddle over here really quick. Keep going.
Who brought this guy here?
Yeah, exactly.
What were they thinking? So I know you and I have talked a little bit about the cabins that you guys built yep. for part of the set. So can you go a little bit more in depth about the cabins and you know, why you guys decided to actually build, you know, basically real cabins?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. That's freaking, I was hoping to chat about that. It's so much fun. So one of the things that we did on this movie that I have taken to music videos is set building. We used wood that has been laying around in James's yard or my yard and part of like an old fence I had. And we built cabins and painted them. We went to Home Depot. And so we have, we had 3 cabins that were built up. One of them got blown over. We took that parts and redecked another cabin. So it's like completely different, technically still the same cabin, but the scenes were done there. But you know, Friday the 13th movies, a lot of them have Camp Crystal Lake. And so we wanted to build a Camp Crystal Lake, and we wanted to have some sort of like, you know, it's the atmosphere and your location, just it really matters so much. And so we have a creepy farmland area that we're filming at, and the cabins, James Sweet is an amazing, I guess a lot of times I have like a, you know, art department or set decking or whatever, but he is so good at prop building and weathering stuff. He used to run a haunted house years ago.
All
right. And so he and I, before a shoot one day, we built the interior of a cabin. So we have these prisoners and they have a conversation in a cabin. And before we showed up like 2 hours early and built the thing and painted it. And I was happy. We're lucky it was in the summer, so everything dried super quick. But, you know, and then he set decked it. And it was just amazing to build an interior of a cabin. And then we tore it down that night. And then the next day we went out there and built a couple cabins. And then during the pandemic, right as everything, the shit started hitting the fan, we had our executive producer out here. So it's like James, Vinny, our executive producer, and myself. And we went to Home Depot, spent another like $400 on wood, and built a Jason lair. And we built it so half would work as Jason's lair and the other half would work as a cabin.
Okay.
And it worked out great. And one of the things that we did is you know, we wanted to building cabins yourself versus trying to find one is, you know, one, we have complete flexibility. So if we want to tear a wall apart and move stuff around, we can. If we want to, you know, put a roof on something, great. We want to tear a roof off, no, not a sweat. And so what we've been trying to do is, Evil Dead's been a huge inspiration, and you know, there's tons of folk and there's tons of fog and smoke, and we have, like, when we build the walls, we'll put little slats through some of them so the light pierces through, and then you get moonlight coming in and shafts, and it just, like, the way it hits, cool. If you have somebody leaning right, it, like, makes their eyes, like, just light up. Adds to the creepiness factor. I mean, and so we're able to do a lot of stuff like that, and it, we can do it quickly, and it's just so cool. And just, it's so fun to paint the stuff and then weather it. So painting it, you know, grab a roller, roll paint on it. It's cool. But when you start weathering it, I mean, it's like adding nastiness to it. So, like, rust and, like weird, like, black splotches everywhere, right. And like green. And sometimes it's using sponges, and sometimes it's like flicking paint at it. But we can take something that looks really nice and age it in like 10 minutes. And it just looks disgusting. And then we've been leaving the stuff out there in the weather. And so some of it's just getting, like, you know, moss all over it and, you know, weird, crazy spider webs. And the fun part is you can't tell what's fake spider webs versus what's real now.
Nice. Yeah. I was going to say Mother Nature's turning it into a great set for you, hey?
Yeah, it's totally true. We have a crate, too, where Jason gets buried in a crate. And there's been a couple times where we've left it outside at the camp, because we're like, you know, come back the next day and film, and you open it up and there's like a mouse in it, and you're like, get out of here.
So is there a lake in this movie?
Yes.
So is the lake at the same location where you're building the cabins, or are they two separate locations?
Two separate locations, technically three. So we have three main spots where we're filming. So there's a lake, we've been using Battleground Lake in Washington. And it's just, it's beautiful. That place is so gorgeous. There's these lovely paths all over the place. You can't shoot there at night. So they close it down. And so what we've been doing is we've been going there during the day when we've needed to. And then we also, there's a park in, I don't know, 20 minutes from there up in Washington. And we've been filming there. And it's like, it's got like a nice river. And it's wide enough where, you know, depending on how you shoot, it looks like a lake. And then there's also this like nasty swampy area. So we've been shooting there a lot too. And there's some amazing, like, I don't know if you see the new trailer, there's a shot of Jason standing still while this lady's crawling out from the lake. And that was shot at our second location. Okay. And it's just swampy. It's got like reeds and she's like coming out like, and it's just so good. And that place has like natural fog. Like, we're just over there last Monday shooting, and it's just, it's so creepy. I mean, that is like freaking weird. And you hear the weirdest animals out there too. Like, it is, it's kind of legit scary.
Actually, I was going to ask you, through all the filming of this, has there been any times where just for a second, you're like, that almost seemed too real?
Well, some of the screaming is so good. And then we've had some of those fight sequences. Sometimes you can't tell if somebody actually got nailed or not. And I guess that's what we're going for, but there's been some times where you have to stop and be like, hey, is everyone cool?
Yeah. Interesting. So, yeah.
And when we, the Oregon City location that we've been filming at, where our main camp is, there's a lot of coyotes out there. So a lot of times you'll just hear like coyote parties where they're just going off. I mean, it's pretty creepy, and there's tons of deer and everything out there.
Yeah.
So one time I went back down to the camp by myself, and I was just kind of wandering through, had a headlamp on, but it wasn't very bright. And I almost ran headfirst into a deer. It was a male one. It had a bunch of horns, and I was like, oh, shit, this guy could come after me, but thankfully he bolted. But yeah. It scared the crap out of me. I was like, well, I'm glad that's not a coyote.
Just, like, no doubt. Though, honestly, I think I'd be more worried about a deer with antlers because it could gore you. So,
yeah,
definitely. So do you guys, when you go to these different locations, do you have to get permits for everything you're doing?
Well, maybe. So one location, our camp location, it's on private property, so we don't need permits.
Right.
And then the other places, one of the parks is totally cool. You can't get in people's way.
Right.
So their thing is, like, if you don't use tripods and you don't use certain equipment, you're fine. And so we've been able to be totally cool there. And then one of the other locations is just super guerrilla style. They could probably shut us down. And we ran into park rangers and talked to them and just told them what we're doing. And they hang out, make sure you're not being an idiot, and then they leave you alone. So we've been fortunate. We've been doing a guerrilla style. Part of the problem, especially with COVID, we've been getting permits is like a 30-day process,
Right.
and it takes a lot of planning. And right now, it's been so kind of hit or miss. Like, what happens if somebody was potentially exposed to COVID? All of a sudden, we have to reschedule, and then you go waste $300 or $400 on permits.
Right.
It's been so we've been shooting without it to try to save money, and it's been working great.
Yeah, no, cool. I don't care either way. I was
Oh
curious
yeah,
if you
no,
did.
it's funny because it's always kind of risky. I did. Tomorrow we announced the next Venersea video, and it's one we went out to a desert and filmed. And I got permits. Like, we were out in the desert in the middle of nowhere, the most remote part of Oregon. But I was like, you know what? We're pulling a 20-foot boat. I want to get permits because there's some times where you don't want to get shut down because you
Right.
can't just pack up and go. So it's kind of one of those things where I think in our entirety, my entirety of filming, I think we've got like four permits out of like hundreds of shoots.
Gotcha. So, okay, so you got this permit for that shoot. Did you get stopped or anything?
No, they sat there and they watched us through binoculars
Uh-huh.
from far away just to make sure we weren't doing anything crazy.
Gotcha.
Yeah, which is, that was nice. They didn't interrupt our shoot or anything, so
Right.
that was good.
Well, and you were prepared in case they did, so that's good.
Yeah. It was definitely would have been like one of those like, what the hell are you guys doing situations? And like, well, let me explain the story of the video.
Yeah. So, shameless plug time. Where's a good place for people to go to find out everything about Jason Rising? What's the best place for them to go?
The best place right now is our Facebook, and that is facebook.com/JasonRising. And then we also have a lot of stuff on Instagram, and we have a group. Oh, look at that. Somebody just shared Jason Rising. I was going to go make sure I had the URL correct. Yeah, it's facebook.com/JasonRising13. We do have a website. The Indiegogo is up to date as well. You posted a link in the Discord chat. It's all over Facebook. It's on our Facebook page too. But our Facebook page is a great place to stay current. We post stuff on there quite frequently. There's also a group dedicated for Jason Rising. A lot of times we'll post behind the scenes stuff or early photos before anybody else sees them.
Do you have merch for sale?
We do. There's shirts, coffee mugs, all sorts of fun stuff. We have a new shirt being designed by a person who did really amazing band shirt for a couple of big bands that I'm pretty stoked on. That'll be out probably later December. It'll be after Christmas. But tons of stuff up there right now. We got posters, all sorts of fun stuff.
Awesome. Now, you and I have talked quite a few times, and I'm very grateful for that. And one of the stories you've told me in the past was about the time, and I can't, and I, and forgive me, I don't remember if it was for Jason Rising or if it was for one of your music videos, but where you were filming like at some old abandoned buildings, and the people came and checked on you or something. Remember that? You know what I'm talking about?
Was it the one where we had to go pay him on the spot?
No, it was you. They came and the guy stopped, and you were telling him what you were doing and stuff, and he was all cool, and he basically just kind of hung out and watched you shoot.
Gotcha. Yeah, so it's happened. People are really cool. I'm very fortunate that we're in Portland or Northwest instead of like LA. LA, they're really sticklers for permits. So we filmed a video for a band called Von Doom, and we were off on the side of the freeway. Just pull off on the side of the freeway and filming, and people were like pulling over and stopping in trucks. And like, we're like, you never know. Like, are they gonna yell at you? Like, what the hell are you boys doing? Or are they gonna say, hey, what's going on? And 9 times out of 10, it's hey, what's going on? So my thing whenever we're filming is smile and wave, because
Right.
if you smile and wave, people are more likely to be friendly, and they're more likely to let you do, whatever it is you need to do. And I think what we were talking about last time was the dead animal assembly plant video.
Yeah, I think
We
so.
filmed at this turn of the century schoolhouse
Yep.
from like, 1900s. It's so old. It is so cool. It's got just like amazing furniture and decoration inside. I mean, it's just, you just, they don't make stuff like that anymore. It's also kind of hollowed out and empty and kind of creepy and historic. I mean, it's just, it's gorgeous. And the owners, who the people who pay the property taxes on it, dropped by and were like, what the hell's going on? And we had people in two red robes with facial prosthetics
right.
on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, this is the one.
Like coarse paint makeup. I mean, it looked like some sort of satanic cult. And we had these two people, I want to say they were like in their 60s or 70s, driving past the motorcycles. They drove past and like really mean bugged us. And then they came back like an hour later and stopped. And we were taking turns on who was saying hi to people. And this is one of those places where a car went past every hour. I mean, it was like, when you heard a car, you're like, oh, what the hell's going on? It was like just dead empty. And so when the people stopped, I'm like, well, I guess I'll go over and say hi. And I went over and they were so nice. They own the place and they were just like, oh yeah, this is totally cool. Like there was, once I told them what was going on in the story, they were pumped. They hung out. The band gave them a CD. They got some stickers and stuff. I mean, we've been so fortunate. And those people are so supportive.
Yep. That's awesome. So just to kind of frame this for the listeners, you know, obviously we're talking about Jason Rising tonight, but you also do a lot of video shoots for your bands, for other bands. So, you know, I guess the point I want to make is if you're in a band and you're tuned in and you need a badass video shot, Carl's your guy.
Yep. Yeah. I've done over 100 music videos. It's kind of crazy to think about it like that. And I work with quite a few talented people. So typically it's myself spearheading it with either my friend Freddie Heath or my brother Josh involved. And, you know, we just did a video shoot for a band called Pathways. They're from Tacoma, Washington. And we put together a pitch deck for them. And it was one of those things where like, okay, let's describe ourselves about to these guys because they don't really know us. I'm like, well, I'm in two metal bands. We have toured internationally. One of the bands is signed. Freddie used to shoot. He was the in-house music video director for a label in town. And I was adding up how many videos we've done together. And I was like, holy shit, that's over 100. Like, wow.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And, you know, now we're making movies, doing some commercial work here and there, too. But the movie's been so much fun, man. I cannot wait for people to see this thing. We have, I don't know, I think it's going to be about 60 minutes, maybe 50, 60 minutes. And we're trying to be brutal. We want to make sure, like, only the best things are in there and we're not, like, we want it paced really well, and it's coming out great. And like I said, most of it's just the cast, but like, I cannot wait for people to see this. We got some really funny moments, some pretty brutal moments. Monday, we are filming in my garage.
Wow.
We have a scene where we have one of our people under the floorboards of a cabin. And last time we were out at the camp, we got the cabin shots, the top side of it, where Jason was, you know, spotted somebody under the floorboards and is like leaning in and starts attacking him with a machete, just going ballistic, just hit. And it's like just so brutal. So now we're going to go film the other part of that on Monday. And I can't wait. And it's also kind of neat to be able to do those things in sections. Like if I were to go through and pick out some of the stuff in the movie after it's out and tell you what was filmed in my garage versus what was on set, like it's kind of shocking. And it's so cool to be able to do that. There's a shot in the new trailer with the worms on the eye that was done in the garage. We got some of the stuff where Jason's in the crate that's done in the garage. It's kind of cool. James, the director, is super inventive. We have a, you know, really creative team, and it's just, I don't know, it's so much fun. Like I'm pumped. Like I'm so excited to go film this thing Monday. So we got people, a couple people coming over, and we're gonna make some badass art, and I cannot wait.
Awesome. Awesome. So yeah. How many pages of script do you have left to shoot?
That's a great question. I'll just say that we have two possible endings. We have not filmed the exact ending yet. And when it comes out, I can talk about it afterwards, but basically say that it could go one of two ways. Part of it just kind of depends on where things are at in Oregon and how many people we can have.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I'm really hoping we can do our Rogue One moment at the end where, you know, Darth Vader comes in and just goes ballistic. But we have to be careful. So we can't do that because of COVID. And one of the big impacts with COVID is not just the amount of people you can have on set, but when you do makeup. So if we want to have somebody do a really crazy gore wound, that makeup appliance, that's really risky because you have, if you have to do makeup, you're right in somebody's physical space for quite a while.
Right.
And if they can't wear a mask because they have, you know, gore makeup on their face, for instance.
Right.
Yeah. And because we are SAG, we have to be really careful. So that's been that's been our main challenge right now, is just dealing with the makeup part of it.
Gotcha. So who does, do you have a specific person that does all the makeup art for you?
Well, I would say we did. She's still on board, but she is part of, she works for like The Birch and a bunch of other really cool TV shows that are out there.
Okay.
So she's been part of like the OA from Netflix, and she does all this amazing stuff. And her name is Christina Cordham. And, you know, she's legit, legit, legit. And she's amazing. But because of COVID, we've had to really watch what we can do. So she's done all of Pamela's makeup. So she'll put the crazy corpse paint stuff on there. She's done the chest painting of the zombie appliances thing. She made a neck stump for us. You know, all sorts of amazing stuff. But we haven't been able to shoot since the pandemic hit with her. And my hope is once things start between the vaccine and people now things are starting to pick back up, where people are figuring out how to safely shoot, that we can, you know, kind of get some things going. We've also had another gentleman by the name of Zach Smith that's helped out a lot on a lot of like makeup. So he'll come out and he'll help. One of the things we want to do is, are if you there's some other Friday the 13th fan films out there, and some of them are really good, some of them are fucking horrible, and we want to be on the really good,
right,
good side,
right, of course,
spectrum. And one of the things that kind of bugs me when I watch him is the Jason's hands. Sometimes they'll just use like yellow gloves, kind of like they did in one of the movies, to cover the hands. And I get it. It makes it really easy. You don't have to worry about how his hands look. But some of the other fan films will use gloves. And if they're like latex gloves versus silicone, they look so shitty. They wrinkle weird. The hands look stupid big. Like it just doesn't, something looks off on it. So we've been going the makeup route. And that was one of those things that we determined pretty early on. We wanted to go for makeup. But, you know, if our director has to apply makeup, which he does quite often, you know, it's like, you know, 45 minutes to get the look right.
Right.
And, you know, that eats in your time to shoot. So Zach Smith has helped out a lot on that. And then our director, James, has also done quite a lot of the makeup. Like we did a shoot last Monday where he did all the gore effects. And he wears a lot of hats on this. I mean, I do too. I've been talking him up, but I'll talk myself up. You know, I've done everything from paying for plane flights for people to we're building cabins. You know, I picked up so much gear for this that was like out of my own dime. It's been so fun and it's been so rewarding. I cannot wait for the movie to come out. Like the closer and closer we get to it, I'm like, God, oh, it's coming out so good. Like we haven't lived it yet.
You're like, you know? So close.
There's a lot of chances where you can whiff it, and we haven't done that yet. So I'm so excited. It kind of kills me. I can't share. Like people, it's neat to put the trailers out there because we've had pretty positive reactions on all of them. The last one people have gone gaga over, which is amazing. But I cannot wait for people to see the whole thing, because I'm like, you know, we kept the quality good and it's got heart. That's something that, you know, some movies just don't have. And, you know, we have two gentlemen playing like federal agents, and Jerry Bell Jr. and Jason Reynolds, and their characters are like Jed and Bear, and they're such a good team. Like I don't know how good of friends they are in real life, but they play it off so well, and they're both so friggin' amazing, and they have some amazing scenes. It just like cracks me up. We debated. There's a scene called The Pisser where, you know, they're trying to flush somebody out. So it's like, hold on a second, I got to take a piss. And he goes over and acts like he's taking a piss while Bear kind of tries to sidestep. And that's when they stumble across the headless Pamela. But the scene is just so good and they executed it so well. And it's one of those things where, like, I see it on paper. I see the early drafts. I see the revisions. And, you know, James will work through it with Vinny, and then I'll throw in any thoughts that I have. And then we go film it, and then you just watch it come alive, and then we edit, and you're like, oh my God, that scene is hilarious. There's a couple of them where I just smile every time because they're just freaking funny.
Awesome. Do you guys use like any storyboards or anything? Do you kind of sketch anything out first?
Yeah. So it's yes, we definitely do storyboards. You know, it totally depends on the scene, because there's some things where, let's say if we shot part of it and we just wanted to do a transitional scene, maybe we don't storyboard that one. But if there's quite a lot of it that's storyboarded out, and then, you know, you get out there and you get inspired. Like we've had some where we were able to hang a Crystal Lake sign differently, and we just kind of totally said fuck it with our storyboards and threw it out and did something else. It looks so amazing. But storyboards are helpful because it gives you a plan, and then you can figure out where you want to go from there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, so go from script to storyboards to shooting and then editing. And, you know, we're at the point, you know, it's like it's neat to have most of the movie put together. So now we can make sure that the tone and like things escalate properly. So, you know, as people start figuring out like, holy shit, something's wrong. You know, you can see the panic come in more and the characters start getting a little bit more frantic and they start handling situations. Maybe not quite as cool as they might have originally because they know something's wrong.
Right.
Yeah. It's been so fun.
Yeah. Sounds like it. So when it's done and you release it, do you guys have a plan for how you're going to release it? I mean, are you going to release it, you know, like you have to pay to watch it? Because obviously it'd be nice to recoup some of your costs, I'm sure. So, and get rewarded financially for all the hard work you guys have put in. So have you thought about how you're going to do that?
Yeah, great question. So there's like two ways I'll answer that. So the first thing is, because we are a fan film and Paramount owns the rights to Friday the 13th, we can't make any money on it. Like okay. I said, I'm in it for several thousand dollars easily at this point over the years. Even if we made, quote unquote, like let's say like $20,000 in the Indiegogo campaign, that's only going to help us finish the post-production stuff. So I don't think I'll ever get all of it back, and that's totally fine.
Right.
Because, you know, my goal for the last couple of years is this movie. I want it to be the best quality and the highest quality that I can. That said, if somebody wants to buy a Blu-ray or a DVD, they can pick one up at our Indiegogo. They could also buy some of the shirts that we have or some other stuff, signed posters or props. And it helps. Everything helps make the movie. Like right. When we have people who are going out locations, sometimes we have to rent porta potties and, you know, we have to feed people. It all adds up. But our plan for releasing it originally before COVID, we were going to have one of our executive producers, a gentleman that goes by Storyman on Instagram, Mr. David Bunker. He was going to rent the Hollywood Theater here in town and we were going to do a, you know, nice premiere for it. COVID obviously complicated that.
Right.
We cannot do that anymore. But, you know, what we're going to do is we are already filming behind-the-scenes stuff for our Blu-ray. And that way, as soon as the movie's wrapped, we'll hopefully have the behind-the-scenes stuff done, like, right away, too. And that way we can get the Blu-rays out pretty quick. But our plan is to release the movie June 13th, 2021.
Awesome.
And that day is basically locked in stone at this point. And I'm 95% positive we can make it, but you know, who the hell knows what's going to happen next.
Right. Well, it's right? Good. COVID, I'm sure
we had some biblical fires here and that shut us down. Like we had a day where right. We were like, we're going to be able to do some really crazy stuff we've been waiting to do. And then the fires happened and we're like, oh no, but you can't risk people's health.
Right.
And absolutely. Yeah, so that hurt. That really sucked. But you know, it'll be out on YouTube, so it will be up there for free. Our hope is that people will watch it and go, shit, I want to own that. Like, those guys crushed it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then obviously...
Because you don't want to talk yourself up, and you don't want to be like, yeah, our movie's fucking amazing, because one, it's not done yet, and two, somebody could hate it.
Right.
But, you know, I feel confident. I think, you know, we're making a really good movie. I think anybody who's even sparingly familiar with Friday the 13th or other slasher movies will enjoy it.
Nice. And then I guess the final question I have for you tonight around the movie is, oh my God, I went brain dead. I had a final question for you. It's gone. So
no worries.
Thank you so much for taking time to talk about the movie. Oh, question, thought back. So
yeah.
Do you have any plans to submit this to like independent film festivals, stuff like that?
Great question. It's funny because the rules have changed so much with COVID. So prior to COVID, if you wanted to submit to film festivals, you would have to submit it before the film came out publicly.
Okay.
So the process was you finish your movie and then you could submit it to film festivals. Once it's out and you have a public showing, you can't submit it to film festivals. I would say that we will submit it to places that will allow it. But our primary thing is to get it out there to the world on June 13th.
Awesome.
So I hope to submit it. I hope we get some accolades for it. That would be nice. I also kind of, you know, the other hand, I'm like, I want people to enjoy it. And that's priority number one. And we've been working so hard on it. I'm really excited to kind of see the horizon and the finish line in the future. You know, we're not there yet, but it's getting closer and closer. And every week, every month, we're making like huge headway on it. Getting pretty excited.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking time tonight to talk about the movie. I'm super excited. I haven't watched the newest trailer, so I'll make sure to watch that tonight. And
yeah, scope it out, man. Yeah, we have the guy that records my bands, Gabe Johnston. He did the audio treatment on the trailer. So I, awesome. You know, it's one of the things where people are like, "Oh shit, that sounds so professional." I'm like, "Goddamn right, it does." Right. Awesome. But scope it out, man. I'd love to. You have to send me what you think in Facebook, even if you hate it. I got thick skin.
Yep, I'll definitely let you know. And just a little side note, once we get off the interview, I have a couple of tracks from your bands lined up, so I'm going to play some Venter C and I'm going to play some Ligature Marks. So
thank you so much.
You bet. So okay, well, thanks so much again for taking the time to call in tonight, and good luck on Monday with your next filming. And
awesome, yeah, I'll try to make sure to send you some pictures.
Yeah, please do. I'd love to see them.
Cheers. Take care.
Take care, bud. Bye.